Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of 2 Peter and will be continuing today with part 1 of the Holy Scriptures. So let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Peter, you remember he's talking about the second coming of Christ, which he's going to do in more detail as we carry on through the book. But he's talking now about those things that are proofs that Christ is going to come again. He said, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses. So we talked last week about the eyewitness testimony. Peter was an eyewitness of the glorified Christ there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then Peter said, we also have, beside the eyewitness testimony, we also have the word of prophecy, and we talked in our last study about prophecy and about the numbers of prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus in his first coming and how there are more prophecies concerning his second coming than his first, and we saw how mathematically it's impossible that Jesus could have fulfilled those without being the Messiah. So we concluded that he is certainly the Messiah. And so we pick up there in verse 19 where he's talking about the prophetic word. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Or another translation is, we have also the word of prophecy made more sure, unto which you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the morning star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is one of those verses in our Bible that assures us that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. Unquestionably, the Bible is the greatest book ever written. Inside its pages are the answers to the most important questions of life. The message of the Bible centers around the person of Jesus Christ. We know that. The Bible has been recognized as a book in a class by itself. Consider the following statements from some notable historical figures. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, a person you don't generally associate with favorable statements regarding the Bible, but yet listen to what he said. It's interesting. He said, I must confess to you that the majesty of the Scriptures astonishes me. The holiness of the evangelist speaks to my heart and has such striking characters of truth and is, moreover, so perfectly inimitable that if it had been the invention of men, the inventors would be greater than the greatest heroes. Abraham Lincoln said concerning the Bible, all the good from the Savior of the world is communicated through this book. All the things desirable to man are contained in it. Winston Churchill. Interesting quote from Winston Churchill regarding the Bible. He said, in the words of a forgotten work of Mr. Gladstone, Remember, Gladstone was a former prime minister of Britain. We rest with assurance upon the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. Let men of science and learning expand their knowledge and probe with their researches every detail of the records which have been preserved to us from those dim ages. All they will do is to fortify the grand simplicity and essential accuracy of these recorded truths which have so far lighted the pilgrimage of man. And then one more quote from present Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II. She said, "To what greater inspiration and counsel can we turn than to the imperishable truth to be found in this treasure house, the Bible?" And so we see from these quotes, and we could go on and on quoting from people in history who have made reference to the Bible, we see the Bible really is a book that stands alone. There's nothing like it in the world. It is unique. Now, the text that we just read, we're going to go back and look at it. But the text tells us three things. It tells us, first of all, that the Bible is not the word of man. Secondly, it affirms to us that the Bible is the word of God, for holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And it also tells us that it works powerfully in the lives of those who believe in it. And so Peter exhorted us to take heed to it as a light shining in a dark place in order that the morning star might rise in our hearts. So he's telling us that if we take heed to the word of God, it will produce the life of God in us. So those are the three things that we want to consider. So first of all, we read here that the Bible is not the word of men. He tells us that clearly when he says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man." Don't we hear this so frequently? The Bible is just a collection of writings that come down to us from men. That's the word that's out and about today. The Bible is nothing more than the word of men. In some cases, they go a bit further. The Bible is nothing but a book of fables and myths. But there is the insistence coming at us today that the Bible is just like any other book. There's nothing extraordinary about it. There's nothing unique about it. But yet the Scriptures themselves tell us that it is not the word of men. Knowing this first, something we need to know, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. What that means is this, that the prophets were not communicating their own personal interpretation of God when they wrote. This wasn't their theory on God. This wasn't what they thought about God. This wasn't their opinion that they just decided to jot down. That wasn't what was happening. And Peter says we need to know that. First of all, so the Bible is not the word of man. We know that because the Scriptures tell us it's not the word of man. And as you look at the Bible, it doesn't make sense that men would write this book because it does not flatter man in any way, shape, or form. Listen to this. I can't remember where I got this quote, but it's a great one. How do we know that the Bible is not the word of man? By the fact that, as does no other sacred book in the world, it condemns man and all his works. It does not praise either his wisdom, his reason, his art, or any progress that he has made, but it represents him as being in the sight of God a miserable sinner, incapable of doing anything good enough to merit God's favor, and deserving only death and endless perdition. Now, you can't find another book on the planet written by men that say those kinds of things about man, religious or otherwise. Man does not have a realistic view of himself, and there isn't any of his literature that presents man in the same kind of a light that the Bible does. The Bible presents man, as this quote reminded us, as a sinner, lost, desperately, hopelessly, without anything that he can do apart from the intervention of God. That is not a book that man would write. And so, number one, this is not a book that was written by men. We need to understand that from the onset. It is the Word of God. And Peter tells us that. He says, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter is referring here, of course, to the Old Testament prophets. So he's referring primarily to the Old Testament. But notice he uses the term Scripture, and the term Scripture is also used in the New Testament by Peter in this very epistle to refer to the writings of Paul. And so the apostles knew that they were writing on the same level as did the Old Testament prophets. And so we're looking at it today, and as Peter is talking about the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, he was referring to the Old Testament prophets. We're including Peter in this, Paul, and the New Testament writers as well, and rightfully so, because the New Testament tells us that it is Scripture itself. And so what does it say? It says that men were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is a statement that is showing us that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We talk about the inspiration of the Bible. We mean that God is really the author of it. He used human agency. He used the pen of men. But yet he was the one who inspired them to write what they wrote. He put his thoughts in their mind, and through their pen, he communicated to us exactly what he wanted to communicate. That's the doctrine of inspiration. And as Christians, we believe in the what's called the plenary inspiration of the Scriptures. That means we believe in full inspiration. We believe that every word in the Bible is inspired. Every word that's in the Bible is what God intended to be in the Bible. So we believe the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible claims to be the Word of God. The skeptic says, oh, well, that's no basis for believing. Just because the Bible claims to be the Word of God, that doesn't mean we should accept that claim. And to some degree, there's some truth to that argument. Just because someone claims something doesn't necessarily make it a fact. We need to know, are there any things to support the claims? And there are certainly many things to support the biblical claim to divine inspiration. One of the main things we looked at last week is prophecy. Prophecy is the built-in proof of the inspiration of Scripture. Prophecy is that one thing that God put in the Scripture to prove that it was His book. Because God alone has the ability to tell us about the future accurately, and that's what he does over and over again through the prophetic word. But there are many things that point to the Bible being the inspired word of God, and I want to share some of those things with you tonight. Things that support the biblical claim to inspiration. First of all, the harmony of the Scriptures. Now, we take for granted, we have our Bibles, we've got the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I think a lot of times we just, you know, take the Bible we have for granted, failing to realize that not everyone has always had the whole Bible. Not everyone has had access to it, for it wasn't completed in a day. It wasn't finished in a year or two, but the Bible was written over a 1,500-year period. Now, this is amazing. Let's just, for a moment, think about a book that was 1,500 years in the making. Now, obviously, if a book took 1,500 years to write, you couldn't have the same author, could you? Because there isn't a human being that lives 1,500 years. But the Bible was written over a 1,500-year period. It was written by over 40 different authors coming from a variety of backgrounds, all different walks of life. It was written on three different continents, the African continent, the Asian continent, and the European continent. And it was written in three languages. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Now, here's the amazing thing about the Bible. With this great span of time for its completion, with the number of authors, human authors anyway, who were involved in it, in the different geographical locations that it was written in, the different cultural backgrounds and so forth, the amazing thing about the Bible is the harmony of its teaching. There is a total and complete continuity in the teaching of the Scriptures. And here's another amazing thing. The Scriptures address the most controversial issues that man has ever contemplated. The most controversial issues. Issues like the origin of the universe, the existence and nature of God, the nature and purpose of mankind, the origin and extent of evil. These are the kinds of subjects that the Bible addresses. These are controversial subjects. Try to find a couple of people that share the exact same view on any of these topics, and you're going to be hard-pressed to do it. They're controversial subjects. But the amazing thing is that the Bible speaks with absolute harmony on each one of these controversial subjects. There's no contradiction. There's no inconsistency. And although there's this vast period of time and the different authors from the different backgrounds, there is a complete continuity of Scripture. There's a harmony. And what that tells us is that really, truly, there has to be one author. And there is one author. It's God Himself. It's the Spirit of God. Only God. The harmony of the Bible is a miracle. It's basically a miracle. And as you look at the harmony of Scripture, it's a powerful proof that the Bible is inspired by God, because there's no way that anyone could have planned this out. They couldn't have plotted to put it together if they would have wanted to. We see the fingerprint of God in the harmony of the Scriptures. Another thing that supports the biblical claim to inspiration is the survival of the Bible. The Bible has been attacked like no other book in the history of the world. The Scriptures have been under attack for centuries. And the most powerful governments, the most powerful rulers that the world has ever known have at times made attempts to wipe out the Bible, to do away with the Scriptures, to completely rid the world of the written testimony known as the Scriptures. But yet, we have the Bible with us today. The persecution of Diocletian is just one example of the type of persecution the Scriptures have endured. In AD 303, the Roman Emperor Diocletian wrote an imperial letter ordering the burning of all Christian Scriptures. Now, this guy's the emperor of the Roman Empire, so he's got a little bit of authority. He's got some power. And he sends out an edict, and contained in that edict, there were a number of other things that he was demanding that the magistrates do to the Christians. But one of the things specifically was that the Scriptures were to be confiscated and burnt. Now, the historical irony is that the emperor who followed him, Constantine or Constantine, however you want to pronounce it, he ordered 50 copies of the Scriptures to be produced by the best scribes at government expense. So Diocletian sought to wipe out the Scriptures by an imperial edict. Constantine comes to power and he gives an edict that the Scriptures be written out, 50 copies of them at the government's expense. The impact of 2,000 years of persecution and criticism of Scripture has been aptly summed up by H.L. Hastings. He was a Bible scholar, has written a number of dictionaries and a number of works. He said this. He said, "Infidels have been refuting and attempting to overthrow this book, and yet it stands today as solid as a rock. Its circulation increases, and it is more loved and cherished and read today than ever before. Infidels, with all their assaults, make about as much impression on this book as a man with a tack hammer would on the pyramids of Egypt. So the hammers of infidels have been pecking away at this book for ages, but the hammers are worn out, and the anvil of God's word still endures. If this book had not been the book of God, men would have destroyed it long ago. Emperors and popes, kings and priests, princes and rulers have all tried their hand at it. They die, and the book still lives. Isn't that amazing? No other book in the history of the world has been persecuted like the Bible, but yet it's still the number one bestseller. They're printing more Bibles today than they've ever done in the history of the world. And no matter who it is who tries to stop the Word of God goes on age after age, and those people pass on into eternity. And so the survival of the Scripture is a powerful proof of the Bible's claim to inspiration. And then we have, as I mentioned, prophecy. And we won't go into great detail on prophecy because we did that in our last study. But let me just take a moment and remind you once again of the numbers of prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus in his first coming, over 300. Many more that have to do with his second coming. And we saw how it was mathematically impossible for those things to have come to pass as they have, except they were written by the inspiration of God. And so prophecy, that's something that as we're talking with people, as people challenge the inspiration of the Scriptures, as they say, oh, the Bible's just, you know, written by men, we don't believe it. We have that built-in weapon. We have prophecy. We can open up the Bible and show them things that were written thousands of years ago that are happening right now around us today. Some years ago, I was talking to a young girl from Italy, and she was very adamant about the fact that she didn't believe in God. She didn't have any interest in the Bible. She was certain that it was nothing but a book of fables, and she was convinced that the Bible was just the work of men. And so I took my Bible, I opened it up, and I began to read to her some of the prophecies of Jesus' first coming. And I read to her the prophecies in Isaiah, Isaiah 53, for example. I also read her Isaiah chapter 7, the virgin conceiving and bringing forth a son and so forth. And she sat and she listened. And then I said to her, I said, did you know that these were written? It was obvious that these things were speaking about Jesus. She knew enough about Jesus to know that those scriptures referred to him. I said, did you know that these scriptures were written 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ? She said, you're kidding me. She said, can you prove that? And I said, easily. I can easily prove it. These Hebrew scriptures were translated into Greek 250 years before Jesus was ever born, of course. It's a historical fact that the Old Testament was completed 400 years before the birth of Christ. It was translated into Greek 250 years before the birth of Christ. And she was amazed, but it just once again reaffirmed to me the power in the prophetic word. And so we have Bible prophecy as another one of those evidences that support the biblical claim of inspiration. We also have historical precision. You know, the Bible is historically accurate. I get so irritated when I hear about some of the stuff that's being said in the universities today as the professors are constantly attacking the validity of the Bible, and they're making erroneous claims. They're claiming things that have been disproven a long time ago, but the poor young students, they don't know any better. So many of them haven't really studied themselves these things, and so they're, you know, a lot of these young Christian students are at the mercy of their atheistic professor, and the professor's up there just telling them a bunch of lies. They say, oh, the Bible isn't historically accurate. And then they go on to, you know, make reference to certain things. But the Bible is historically accurate. There is nothing in the Scriptures ever that has been disproven. No one's ever been able to show a historical inaccuracy in the Scriptures. Now, years ago, they used to make all kinds of claims that the Bible was historically inaccurate, but the archaeologists have shown that the Bible is accurate. You know, there were people who disputed the existence of Pontius Pilate. They said Pontius Pilate was not a historical figure. He was just another part of that mythology, that Hebrew mythology. And yet, not too many years ago, I think it was 1961, as a matter of fact, they found in the ancient city of Caesarea, Some of you have been there. If you've gone with Pastor Chuck on the tour to Israel, they found there a stone with the inscription, Pontius Pilate, Prefect of Judea, just as the scripture said he was.
We'll return with more of our study of 2 Peter in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part 2 of the Holy Scriptures. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Holy Scriptures. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3057. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.